Hey Redhawks, I'm Anakin Matharasi, and welcome back to Heads or Tails. So, as you guys know, Heads or Tails is all about compromise and bipartisanship through common ground. So I wanted to talk about one of the few things in our government that is meant to be truly centered around these same values, the State of the Union Address. The State of the Union Address is an annual message delivered by the President to a joint session of the United States Congress at the beginning of each year in office. The address fulfills Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution, which requires that the President periodically gives to the Congress information of the State of the Union, and recommend their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. Initially, the annual messages included information on various budget requests and general reports on the health of the economy. But in 1913, Woodrow Wilson revived the tradition by delivering the speech live to Congress, instead of in writing, giving the president a platform for presenting an agenda and rallying support for it in Congress. And as technology advanced, first in radio and then in television, the address became a way for the president to speak directly to the American people. And this was another opportunity Tuesday night for President Trump to speak to the American people, who have honestly become increasingly wary of his administration. Now, Tuesday, the president called for a new tomorrow, in his message, saying that there's a new opportunity in American politics if only we have the courage to seize it. Victory is not winning for our party. Victory is winning for our country. And he goes on to say that we must reject the politics of revenge, resistance, and retribution, and embrace the boundless potential of cooperation, compromise, and the common good. And I think that the spirit and the symbols behind this message are very commendable, and incredibly heads or tails-esque, in my opinion. To me, this is exactly where politics should be heading. Compromise, bipartisanship, and decreasing division over policy or party or petty differences. But that's exactly what the State of the Union Address is for. Putting a perfect, shiny coat of new paint over a potentially beat-up car that isn't vintage, it's just old. And no matter how bad the State of the Union in reality may be, the address itself is a representation of political rhetoric at its finest, which we've discussed in two previous episodes. Personally, I'm torn between the two, because to me, the use of rhetoric and feel-good speech holds a place in American politics. But to what extent are blank speeches useless and meaningless propaganda? You know, even Nixon had one as if all was okay in 1974, just a few mere months before he was impeached. Well, for one, most of the president's naysayers simply wrote the speech off as baseless words with no real action behind them anyways. However, according to a CBS News poll, of the people who watched the speech, 76% approved and only 24% disapproved. And those are probably the best numbers of President Trump's career to date. And obviously, there is a bias in asking only the people who watched, because more Republicans would naturally watch a Republican president and more Democrats would naturally watch a Democratic president. But CBS found widespread approval for Trump's State of the Unions among independents, as 82% approved. Democrats only gave 30% approval, while Republicans, as might be expected, gave the speech 97% approval. So these words do have a positive effect. But obviously not as much for the opposing party. So is there even a point to the State of the Union Address if it's essentially a glorified reality show nowadays? And I mean, that's just what I've been thinking about regarding the whole idea of the State of the Union Address itself. And if, to an extent, it's kind of antiquated in today's society. But I also wanted to delve into the topics that Trump talked about during his speech. Because even though it is a lot of calling for bipartisan support, it's also about his own agenda for the future, so I wanted to go over that as well. And it's interesting that even as he called for unity, to many Democrats, it appeared as though Trump repeatedly cast Democrats as obstructionists bent on open borders and unwilling to condemn the voices within their party who have been making extreme remarks on hot-button topics like abortion, especially with all the new legislation being passed in places like New York and Louisiana. I think one of the most interesting parts to me was Trump's mention of a growing call for socialism in the United States. And he's likely calling to attention the potential economic policies of the Democratic candidates in 2020. In the speech, he says, "Here in the United States, we are alarmed by new calls to adopt socialism in our country. America was founded on liberty and independence, not government coercion, domination, and control. We are born free and we will stay free. And tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country." And when I heard this, this rhetoric was super powerful because he focuses on the most American values that there are and then juxtaposes them with socialism. And I'm pretty sure that his likely 2020 run for re-election will be centered around this anti-socialist, anti-big government battle cry against the increasingly left-leaning Democratic candidates. Furthermore, the China tariffs have dominated much of recent news, and obviously he made sure to address them as well, as that's been one of his main focuses throughout his administration. His main charge against China is that he wants to make it clear to China and the president that after years of targeting our industries and stealing our intellectual property, the theft of American jobs and wealth, that it has to come to an end. And in all the research that I've done about it, the intellectual property theft is of the utmost importance because, especially today, this is most pressing in our increasingly data-centric world. And if you guys follow the news, all of the events and the news about Huawei, which is a Chinese company in recent times, all of that has to do with the global international fight over 5G technology, which in essence takes 4G, which is what a lot of our phones and our computers run on, and takes it to the next level of data speeds and bandwidth. And because we're having more data to manage and control, and we're creating more data every day, we need that extra bandwidth because our infrastructure right now is not enough. So the winner of this kind of modern space race, you could say, will have control over the data and to an extent control the world. I mean, for lack of a better term. But that's why these trade discussions are so fragile, yet also so vital to both countries. And as you guys might have expected, he also brought to attention the fragile nature of our border situation. And he said in a speech, "Tonight, I'm asking you to defend our very dangerous southern border out of love and devotion to our fellow citizens and to our country. No issue better illustrates the divide between America's working class and America's political class than illegal immigration. Wealthy politicians and donors push for open borders while living their lives behind walls and gates and guards. Meanwhile, working class Americans are left to pay the price for mass illegal migration, reduced jobs, lower wages, overburdened schools and hospitals, increased crime, and a depleted social safety net." And a lot of this echoes much of why people voted for him in the first place. Because to many, he understands the voice of the common people, the middle class, those outside of the political class. So driving his campaign message and promise home with this sentiment was very effective to me. However, no matter how much rhetoric is used to support the border wall, it has obviously proven to be difficult to have bipartisan support for it, as seen from the recent government shutdown and the strong-willed opposition from Nancy Pelosi and other Democratic leadership. As I discussed earlier in a previous podcast regarding the border situation, we talked about the possibility of declaring a national emergency. Now, Trump pointedly did not say that he would declare a national emergency if Congress could not come to some sort of compromise before February 15th. But he laid the groundwork for why his hand could be forced if and when the time comes. He explains that the lawless state of our southern border is a threat to the safety, security, and financial well-being of all Americans. And at another point, he painted a picture of cities in Mexico, loading undocumented immigrants in trucks and buses to bring them closer to unsecured parts of the U.S. border. And while this was definitely one of the more polarizing moments of the night, I, for one, was reassured throughout due to the moments of laughter, of unity, and of lightheartedness that interrupted the evening. Especially when discussing the amazing growth of the female presence in our society throughout the ages, it was a rallying point for all in attendance and a beacon of hope for cooperation and community in the future. I think that the Trump administration, especially after this State of the Union address, should start working for real legislation to be passed, centered around bipartisan support. Things like what we talked about last episode with Elaine about justice system reform. I think that without it, the administration is doomed to pass very little, especially in our current environment with a divided Congress. And Trump may not have a chance for re-election if no real legislation gets passed. But I want to hear from you guys as well. So, heads or tails, is the State of the Union address an antiquated cover of propaganda? How do you think the state of our union really is? And most interestingly, do you believe that the sentiments expressed in the speech will be those expressed throughout the rest of the administration's time? I look forward to hearing from you, and as always, you can reach out to me at AnakinMathrasi@gmail.com. Once again, thank you all for wanting to understand more about the world today than you did yesterday. Talk to you next week.